Hey everyone, Craig Baird here. Before I begin today's story, I want to take a moment and ask that you check me out on Patreon at www.patreon.com/CanadaEHX. There are several tiers with great benefits, from ad-free content to t-shirts and other cool stuff.
And I have plenty of wonderful merch in my store, and the link is in my show notes.
As well, if you're a fan of Canadian history, make sure you check out all of my shows, from John to Justin, Canadian History X, Canada, A Yearly Journey, and Pucks and Cups, along with Canada's Great War. And don't forget, you can also donate directly to the show at www.canadaehx.com. Just click donate. It helps keep this show going. Okay, on with the show.
I'm Craig Baird, and this is Canada's Great War. Unfortunately, we have a relatively short episode, but it's an important battle in my mind, so I wanted to cover it, so I hope you enjoy it. For the past while, we've focused on battles fought by the Canadian Expeditionary Force, and it's been a bit since we looked at a battle fought by the troops from Newfoundland, and it was the Battle of Albert, fought on the first day of the Somme. Today, we're going back to the Newfoundland troops, and specifically the Battle of Port-Capelle. It's a relatively small battle, but I wanted to make sure I included some stories from Newfoundland this season. So by early October 1917, Sir Douglas Haig, the commander-in-chief of the British Expeditionary Force, firmly believed that the German Fourth Army was about to collapse in Flanders based on intelligence reports. He wanted to take advantage of victories on September 20th and 26th, as well as the good weather the area was experiencing. He wanted an attack on October 4th, but others in the British Army leadership felt that an attack was premature, but planning went forward for an eventual attack. The plan was for three objectives to be reached. The first two were 500 yards apart, followed by the last objective, 700 yards further. The British headquarters began to plan out their attack as rain began to fall. That rain would last for days, and became a downpour, which would cause serious problems for troops and delay any attack for some time. On October 7th, the rain stopped, and the ground began to dry on October 8th. But then, another downpour happened. From October 4th to October 9th, 30 millimeters of rain fell on the area, half what typically fell in 1 month in that area of France. On October 7th alone, 10.4 millimeters fell, followed by 14.6 millimeters on October 8th, the Saskatoon Star Phoenix reported. A heavy rain fell continuously during the afternoon and evening of yesterday, causing the ground to become soggy and very difficult for the passage of troops. Finally, the following day, the rain stopped, and it was on that day, October 9th, 1917, that the Royal Newfoundland Regiment got into the battle in Flanders. The mud was terrible, and it was incredibly difficult for the troops to move their guns into position for the battle, one soldier said. Gun teams were struggling to bring the field artillery forward, and when the sweating horses became bogged belly deep in the mire, manpower took over and dragged the guns into position. The mud was so bad it took 5 hours to march 8 kilometers along the washed-out roads as they detoured around craters. And when the rain finished, the attack began at 5:20 a.m. with a creeping barrage. The plan was for three stages, with an hour to consolidate behind standing and smoke barrages at the first and second objectives. The Germans to the right of the Newfoundland Regiment were entrenched at Olga Farm and quickly opened fire. The Victoria Daily Times wrote, "The place was well fortified and every window furnished an opening for a machine gun." As the troops waded across the river, the 4th Worcesters and the Newfoundlanders became entangled, and the Newfoundland Regiment formed the leading wave for the attack. By 7 a.m., the regiment had obtained its first goal as both regiments pushed on to the second goal amid mounting German resistance. And as they pushed forward to Pascal Farm, machine guns opened up on them, taking down many soldiers. Nonetheless, the Newfoundland Regiment advanced to the next objective and found reduced German resistance. Their final objective of 640 meters further was then reached. At noon, a counterattack by the Germans was pushed back. In the battle, the Royal Newfoundland Regiment suffered 67 killed. A total of 33 decorations were awarded to the Newfoundlanders, including 7 military crosses or bars, 5 distinguished conduct medals, and a military medal or bar to 20 others. The North Bay Nugget wrote, "The Allies are established firmly well beyond southern boundary of the forest. The enemy, by strong counterattack, check British advance astride railway, but elsewhere were unable to prevent progress." I hope you enjoyed that short episode of A Battle of Port-Capelle. Next week, we have our series finale and we're looking at a very important person in our history. Information from Vimy Foundation, Royal Newfoundland Regiment, North Bay Nugget, Wikipedia, and the Victoria Daily Times. If this is your first time listening and you like what you heard, please take a moment and give us a 5-star review to help other people find these amazing stories. And there are so many you can sink your teeth into. We also love hearing from you, so if you have a show topic you want me to cover, email me at craig@canadaehx.com or stop by my website and social media. I'll include all of those links in the show notes.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.